23, we'll pick up there. We left off at 27, so what we'll do is read 27 down to 31 and open in prayer, then we'll begin. 27, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we established the law. So we'll open in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the time that we are prepared to spend in it. Pray that our hearts and minds might be open to receive it. And as we learn how we ought to walk and to please you, that we would abound more and more. We pray for each member of your body here and abroad, that you would strengthen them according to their needs. And we say thank you in advance for the edification that will take place as we read and believe your word. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. By the way, well, I don't know. I was going to say we might have a guest next week, but I have to wait till I hear from them. So anyway, 27. Now we're getting into the area now where we've come out of the propitiation, where we're actually still. This is a part of it. And the reason why I say that is because everything that God, I want to say this right, everything that God could do and wants to do, he does it on the basis of his son. Everything is bound up in his, you know, it's a verse in Genesis where, remember when the boys had went into Egypt and Joseph was there, they didn't know who he was. And he said, "You go back and get your brother." And they said, "Well, we've got the little brother, but if something happens to him," he said, and I'm paraphrasing this, he said, "Oh man, he couldn't take it." Do you know what he said?
Who
you know what they said to Joseph? They said they wouldn't want anything to happen to him because. Yeah, well, they said his life was bound up in the life of the lad. You know what that means, Mike? Mia?
I'm assuming that it would kill his father if anything happened.
Right. Everything that old man was resting on that son. And that's what I thought of, where everything that God wants to do is resting on his son. So when he sets, the scripture says he set him forth to be a propitiation. That is, what his son has accomplished, he said, that's what I'm pleased with. That's why in Colossians it says, in him are hid all the treasures of what?
Wisdom.
Who's wisdom?
God.
Who's knowledge? And he said, let no man beguile you of him. So when he says that he's the propitiation, do you see why God is well pleased with his son?
Yeah, because of his performance.
Because of his performance.
Mm-hmm. So that's what Paul was talking about in Philippians when he said he counted all his performance as loss.
That he might what? Know him. And
the fellowship of his suffering.
And the power of his resurrection. You see, not only did, when we talked about this in lessons past, but the Lord Jesus Christ comes not only to fulfill God's promise of reconciling the earth and heaven to himself, but he comes to equip the believers, whatever age, whatever program, he comes to equip them to be able to do what God wants done, to be able to worship and serve him intelligently. And that's where faith comes in. You only get this when you believe. That's why it says the propitiation. He's a propitiation. He's now the righteousness of God without works is manifested. You know what manifest means?
Made known.
I'm picking with your son. It's made manifest. It's made known. Well, before it wasn't made known how a man could be right with God by faith. They always had what?
Some signs
and wonders, or what? Or works. They had some sign or some work. Well, the sign was there because what? Because they didn't believe what he said. They wouldn't just say, he couldn't just say, I'm the Lord, do this. And they would always say,
how
do we know? And he says, well, do this. They would say, okay. That's why when he gives them the law, they said, okay. But they couldn't make it work.
They didn't have
the power to do it. Not that the law couldn't make them righteous, because it's everything. It was a standard of what God wanted.
It was weak in the flesh.
It was because they couldn't do it. And why couldn't they do it? Why didn't they have the power? The Holy Spirit hadn't been sent, so they were still
trying to do it.
They were still
Adamic.
What does that mean?
They had the Adam. They did not have the nature. They didn't have sin.
They were still under sin. That's under its influence, under its control, under its dominion. So, in other words, they were still in a They were still in a fallen image state, and in that image, all it does is duplicate itself. So there had to be another way out of it. See, all they would do is prove that they were under sin. It was just a matter of time before they sinned. And we're going to find out that whatever God gave, whether it was through a prophet or through the law, they always failed. Because all the prophet would do was tell them what? What God wanted. And the law, all it did was spell it out. So if you don't do what I say, you're definitely not going to do what I write, because it's still my word, right? Six in one hand. So he says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets, witnessed, that's over here. It witnessed the shortcomings of the people, and it also witnessed how God was gracious and merciful to them in spite of their shortcomings. That's why when Paul writes in 3, it says, the righteousness of God without performance, you can look at the law and prophets and see it. And we'll find out. And the reason why God could do that, it says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, there is no difference. Unto all And upon all that believe. What's another word for believe? Mia? What's another word for believe?
Faith.
Faith. Right. So it's unto all, but it's only upon all them that demonstrate faith. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith. Through what? Through faith in his blood. That's the same as his righteousness. Those things are equivalent. To declare, to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness. To declare his righteousness for the what? That are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, now we're here, 26, to declare, I say, at this time, or Paul would say, at this time, or Paul would say, at this time, or Paul would say, what? What you say, right now? Not right now.
But now.
But now. He would say, but now, which is, right, but right now. But now, it's made manifest. Okay. That he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Of him which believeth. There it is again. It keeps popping up. You get the idea that God wants you to believe in his son, don't you? So over and over again, believe in my son. I do. He's saying, I believe in him.
You believe.
Okay, 27. If he says to declare his righteousness, where does that put your righteousness? If he says his righteousness, he's declaring his righteousness for the remission of sins, his righteousness for redemption, his righteousness for the forgiveness, his righteousness for your justification, and you have his righteousness, and then you have your righteousness. He says, if everything that God is satisfied with is in his righteousness, well, where's yours? What do you think? What does God think about your righteousness? So, whatever it is, God says now he's just and the justifier of him that believes. Now this repeats itself over and over again. He's just because he deals with the sin issue and the punishment that it deserves. And he's a justifier because, do you remember, Louise, we were talking about, it says there are some sins that were past, right? That is at that time. Okay? But now, so there are some people that at that time, they sinned. A bunch of them. All, right? So what about the people that's after the cross? If these sinned, do you think it's going to be any on after? That's why he's the justifier. Of what's to come. Does that deal with all?
Yeah. In fact, we know it was all because he God's not imputing our sins to us anymore. Rather, he's imputing them to his son.
See, now that word's going to come up again. That's why he says it's because of that propitiation. That sacrifice wasn't just one time for what went back there. It was one time
for all.
For all. So he doesn't have to keep doing it over and over again like the high priest. Next year, he had to come back. Because the sacrifice was only satisfying for a year. Because it was not possible that they could take away sin. But this sacrifice, he says, I'm well pleased with that. It lasts. It is so much so, it doesn't have to be repeated. So he's just to deal with what went before, and he's the justifier of all those who come after, as long as they believe. So where does your performance fit? You couldn't boast and say, the reason why he justified me is because I paid my tithes. I didn't miss a Sunday. Or whatever you felt like you were good enough for God to consider. That's just like another way of Cain. If he says, I'm looking for the blood, and then you do your best and get your best together and say, surely this is worth something, and you present it before him, he couldn't justify you because of that, because you didn't bring what he wanted. Now he's telling you now, the only thing I want you to do is believe. Which is what he has always wanted, for you to believe him. But we're going to find out in verse 27, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Now, do we know what the law of works, what the law of works is? Here, one for you, Mike. What's the law of gravity? Just for Mike. What goes up must what? Must go down, right? That's the law of gravity. Okay. The only way it changes, there has to be a law that's greater than the law of gravity. Right? What's the law of sin?
That death.
The law of sin is
death, right?
You sin what?
You die.
So if all sin,
all were dead.
That sounds like a scripture to me. Okay. Okay. So the only thing that would negate the law of sin is the law
of faith.
That's greater than the law of sin. What is the law of faith?
That God took care of what I could.
That God took care of what I couldn't. That is, and the law of faith, I think we looked at it a couple of verses last week, said, speaketh like this. The word is nigh thee. He said, it's in your mouth when you read it. It's in your heart when you believe it. And in the verse they use all the time, kind of out of context, but we'll use it. And Romans 10 said, he uses the same principle. He said, with the mouth, man confesses unto righteousness, but with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Read that. Romans 10. Now, notice this while we're here, so we won't get mixed up as this or 9, 10, and 11, he's dealing with Israel and why they haven't been received justification. He's going to tell you this is what happened. Not that God couldn't do it. Not that God didn't keep his word. Something happened in their process. So you know if God says, I'll give a man life if he believes. If you don't have life, you know what?
You don't believe.
You don't believe. You didn't believe. And he's showing it to Israel. That's what he says. In 9, Paul was saying, what happened? What happened to them? And he tells you what happened to them. In verse 30, 9:30, I'm sorry. He says, what shall we say then, that the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? That's another way of saying the law of faith. Faith gets you righteousness. Your performance gets you death. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Why not? Or wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith. Listen, look. They sought it not by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law.
By the law, flesh shall be justified.
For, he's further explaining it, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. And that stumbling stone, he tells you what it is. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now, we know from Galatians that the reason why Christ was a stumbling stone is because when he came, just like Paul said, he says, men and brethren, I want you to know that by this man, everything you tried to do here, he'll give it to you. In other words, he said this, men and brethren, by this man, he says, that you could be justified from all things that the law of Moses couldn't do. Let me say it this way. Everything you're trying to perform to get for God to look at you and say you're righteous, everything you're trying to do, this man will give it to you. Their problem was this. When Christ came, he says, guess what, guys? I'm the Son of God. And they knew what that meant. And he says, I always do what he wants. And he said, if you love God, you will love me. If you believe God, that's the ear, by the way. If you believe God, you would believe me. If Abraham was your father, you would believe me. If you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. The law was a schoolmaster to bring them unto faith. Okay, Galatians. Oh, well, we're still in 10. I'm sorry. I'm skipping. 10. Thus he lay in Zion a stumbling stone. Brethren, 10:1. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, in your own words, what is he saying? Jesus, and he tells you that in the next verse. It says, for, to further explain it, for Christ is the end of the law. For righteousness to everyone that what? Believes. Wait a minute. How could he be the end of the law for righteousness for everyone that believes? How? Why is it that he's the end of the law?
He's done the performance on your behalf.
Is that three? We're at 10 and reading that in 10. Isn't that three? Isn't that covered in three?
Romans 3.
His righteousness.
Yeah.
You're going, the grounds, the propitiation is the grounds. Listen, if I got everything I want, stop bringing me things I don't need. If you're cooking at home and you got all the ingredients you got, and then Mia's watching you, and you cooking, you got it in there, and she comes, she says, what about an onion? What are you going to say?
I get it.
Okay, she go back, come back a little way. What about some pepper?
I get it.
You can't use a pepper? Okay, she goes back, she come back in. What about a little salt? How about some bell peppers?
No, we don't need no.
We don't
need no bell.
Look, I have what? I have everything I need. Right? Well, everything that God wanted and demanded for righteousness, guess who did it? His son. And he's, when he says, I'll give it to you, that's exactly what he does. In other words, Karen said this, that he says, I will impute it to you. I will put it in you. Because you don't have it. Now, he says he's the end of the law for righteousness. The Jew, the honest Jew, I think you just quoted Philippians, Paul had to come to see that. He says, everything, he says, concerning the law, blameless. What?
That's when he started giving his resume.
He's, what would make a man say when he can see the law and turn around and tell you that he was blameless? Something's wrong with his thinking, isn't it? He didn't hear the law clearly. Even though he had a zeal for it. When he's on the performance, he's just what we just read, that he was going about to establish his own righteousness. Listen, they weren't doing things that they thought. They were doing things out of the law. And that Paul is saying right there, that they were had a zeal, but it was not according to knowledge.
That's why they were stumbling at that.
Listen, every Sabbath day, guess what they talked about? What do you think they were talking about every Saturday?
Sacrifice.
Listen, the same thing we do now. Every Sunday, what do we talk about?
What we talk about, or what?
Well, some type of performance for the blessing or blessings. And then some guy comes up and says, hey, you don't have to do that. That's you're a heretic, right? Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. The scripture said that he was being made a curse for us, had delivered us from the curse of the law. Cursed is the man
that what?
That continueth not in the Sabbath day. Look, not in this. It's more than that, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
Quick question. Mm-hmm. So then they'll say, no, it's not by the law or by your performance. But if you believe, you would perform.
Okay. Now, this is the difference. And you have the difference. What he said was, they'll say, you don't have to do the law for righteousness, but after that, you do have to work
to prove that you're righteous.
Now, this issue of service is a whole nother issue. Or sanctification. You know, and I'm gonna erase this. I did this when we were, and may not be exactly like I said it, but I said these principles when we were I forgot the name of the street, when we were
Virginia Rock? Or
the other place.
Philadelphia. About the process
for us? Yeah, no, like you get salvation, right? Then I think it was you surrender, then you get your sanctification, service, then your suffering, and then you get your reward. Now, that's free. Salvation is free. Right?
Yes.
You don't perform to get it. Keep it or prove it. You don't work to get saved. You don't work to keep your salvation. You don't even work to prove you're saved. It's a gift. Well, you telling me I can do anything I want to? That's the same thing they said about Paul.
Yeah.
That's somebody that doesn't understand grace. Well, Paul said, the grace of God, he said, I labored more than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. The reason why he could say I suffered more because I served more. I served more because I surrendered myself to what he wanted me to do. He says, what would thou have me to do? And he says, go ahead, and he's my chosen vessel unto me. And I will show him how he must keep his salvation.
Mighty things.
I will show him what? How great things he must
suffer.
For what?
For my name.
And he says, I finished my course. I kept the faith.
Therefore, it's laid up for me.
A what?
A crown.
Not to me only, but to all them
that love his appearance.
That work for their salvation. And approve it. He doesn't say that. See, again, you don't have to. You can get saved and lay down. I don't even say sit down. You can get saved and lay down on the job. Right. Right.
While not looking, you know, at themselves.
That's what.
They're not performing either. But they don't want to admit it. They just want
see.
To appear holy, like.
Well, it's like Paul said, they zealously affect you, but not good.
Because they want. It's either, I think you quoted last week, you will have to excuse or accuse because you're comparing yourself not with the Son, but with me.
Yeah.
We talked about that a few weeks ago, is how do you know when you're doing things out of the Spirit or out of the flesh? Is when you're not operating on His Word, then you know it's you. See, if you're paying tithes because you're looking for something back,
you sure are operating our
instructions. Or because the pastor said this tithe, time to tithe, or whatever. I'm just picking that because
it's. Well, the whole motivation about tithe is about yourself.
So.
Yeah, so you can exactly. Get blessed. Yeah, with so many blessings that you can't receive.
Right.
You know what? What's so crazy is I listened to teachers this morning. They said that modern day Jews don't tithe because they know it's tied to the temple and there's no temple right now, so they don't do it.
I heard that too, that they don't.
Yeah, right. Because there's no temple. Because right. The temple is tied to the tithe.
Right.
Well, and again, to restate it is when you understand justification, that is being justified
freely.
Okay, and the moment you are justified freely, the moment you believe, something happens to you that you don't see, that you don't feel. The Holy Spirit comes in and seals you to the day of redemption. Well, wait a minute. That's until you stop working. Or you could be saved. Let me ask you something. When Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, Timothy, be not ashamed of me, nor of the testimony of our Lord, but be partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to, I'll go back and read it, but he's telling Timothy, who's a saved man and a co-laborer who was ready to quit. He didn't say, if you don't do this, you might lose your salvation. He said, stir up the gift that's in you. And don't be ashamed of me or the Lord. But go back and partake of the sufferings, because that's what we call for. He didn't even mention this, whether it was in question or not. So, yes, sir.
Why do they say that about losing your salvation? Why do they think that you lose your salvation?
That's when you make a statement like, to me, I can only say that if you make a statement that you can lose your salvation, is that you don't know how you got it in the beginning.
And you think you're Israel.
And you're crossing, right, you're mixing verses.
They have to endure until the end to be saved.
That's so you have a.
We have the atonement.
You have a you're misappropriating scriptures.
You're
conflating. So, or you're always going to look at this, your performance. If you look at yourself, you know you don't. You're not saved.
Yeah.
If you look at your performance, you know you don't deserve it. Don't you know that? Okay, even though we have the helmet on, you know that the only reason I'm in this game is because He put me in this game. When I say the helmet of salvation is, that's what keeps your head straight, is knowing this is how I got it, freely. This is how I keep it, freely. He keeps it. This is, okay, what about the proving now? You got to prove this. You can't just get saved and sit down.
Romans 4:4 deals with that too.
What does it say?
Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt.
But to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Now that's the justification. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. That's good. That's how you get in. But when you get to Romans 6, that talks about now your walk. 6, 7, 8, all the way to 12. You know what comes before 6? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. He take you, look, I couldn't use you before. Something happens that it can make you useful again. This is how you got it. This is what you do with it. When you get to 12, then he says, now, brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you
present yourself.
Listen, if you get to 12 and Paul is telling you, this is scripture, and he says, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you do what? What does that mean?
Service.
That you, what's the present?
What?
What's the present? What's the present?
Oh, you mean a gift?
Yeah, what's the present?
It's
what?
It's free.
A present, right?
Something given you,
or
something
you give to somebody else. Well, God says in 12, give me a present. I gave you a gift. Now, I'm asking you now, give me a gift. And you said, sure, God, anything you want at this point. Wouldn't you say that? After all he's done for you, absolutely, anything you want, God, what is it that you want? And he says, what's one small thing? It's not much. Yeah, he says, that thing right there. Like, what? That. What? Yeah, you. Yeah. He's like, give me you. Give me you. And you say, well, what are you going to do with it? And he says, oh, I don't know. What's in it for me? That's the first thing you say. Is there any blessings and good things in it for me? And he says, well, it's not only given to you to believe on him, but to also suffer for his name. Like, is there anything else that you would like? No, we do this. What about his body? What about his?
Yeah.
How long? On Sundays? On Wednesdays? I could probably do that.
Try to fit it in.
I can fit it in between my stuff, yeah. Do you see that you don't deserve this? So that's why he said, I beseech you that you, what? That you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, do you have a choice in that?
Yes.
Do you think it's some believers who've been saved maybe 10, 20 years, who never wrapped the present, who have never gave themselves? Do you think that's possible?
Sure. Yeah, I know a few.
Okay. Of course you know a few. I know one. And he's looking at you right now. Now, listen. This is, if you were living a living sacrifice, if just something you got to do, a present.
Constant.
Every day. Every incident.
Like Richard Jordan said, the problem with living sacrifice is it crawls off the altar.
Jumps off. Yeah, it leaps off. So that's something, you know what, sometimes if I get a little fish cleaning station, you know, if I'm cleaning the fish and if you're not careful, he's not just going to lay there and say, yeah, go ahead and cut me open.
Right.
He's trying to get back in the water. That's just, you know what, he says, you're trying to get back in the world. Be not conformed to this world. See, don't tell me you're not trying to get back in the world, because I just read the verse. That the world is wants you to think and act like them, not like him. Now, that ain't just for somebody, that's everybody. You already got a mind that's conformed to this world. Don't tell me you don't. I just read it. You wouldn't say you did. If your mind was already transformed, he wouldn't have to say what?
Transform
your mind. Now, I don't need the brother to tell me you need to be transformed. That's true. I appreciate that. It's true.
Yeah.
But if I don't tell me I'm not saved. Romans 14 says, who art thou to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. And it goes on to say, he's able to stand. You know how he's able to stand? The verse said, because God is able to make him stand. How's God able to make him stand? Say it. Through his son, because he's the what?
The justifier
of him that believeth in Jesus. Listen, when you get saved, now they say that. They'll say that. Listen, when you get saved, there's nothing you could do to undo that.
Because
you didn't do anything to get it. Listen, there is nothing you could do to undo it.
Isn't that Corinthians 12, all of us doing the body with the hand
and say, No, that's the service part, right. But if you get that one thing, that'll keep you from being what we call the fruit inspector.
Yeah.
Or you say, he can't be saved. He can't. He'll never go to church.
Yeah.
See, that's your scale.
Yeah.
But he can't be saved. He still cusses like a sailor. That's your scale. Now, of course he shouldn't let filthy communication proceed out of his mouth, but you do. I have to be like Jesus now. It's like, well, I don't cuss. You ever think a cuss word? Never? Never? None. Ever. Well, how many can you do before your salvation is called into question? How many can you think before maybe you ain't saved?
I don't want to say I'm out loud, but then folks would think I was saved.
Listen, it's in you.
Right.
It's not what comes out of a man that defiles goes in. It's, listen, that's why when the Lord comes, he said, thou shalt not commit adultery, but this I say. I got to get you good and lost. But this I say, have you looked at her? Have you looked at her? Have you looked at him? Have you looked at her? Right, right here. You know what? You can fool me, and you can fool him. But you ain't fooling. Sometimes you can fool yourself, but you won't fool him. And if he says all, I'm getting in the group. I'm getting in the group, Louise. Because you are deceiving yourself. That's why faith is what leads you back to him. That's what Paul, when he gets in 7 and he starts talking about what I want to do, I can't do, and what I do, he says, man, I'm in a mess. He says, oh, what a pretty good guy I am. He said, oh, what a wretched man I am.
Shall deliver me from this body of death.
Who? How do I get out of it? And he says, I thank. What? I thank God. He says, so with the body, I serve the law of sin. But with my mind, he said, I'm read it for you, for us. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. 7:25. But with the flesh, the law of what? Of sin. Now, it sounds like he's doing both things, don't he?
At the same time.
Look, the law of sin is in his members. What is that? Oh, you know what? While we're here, look at 7. You got 7? Look at 7. 7:8. 7:7. Oh boy. Yeah. 7:7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, that is, lustful desire. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment, which was what? I found to be death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, by that which is good. That's the law. That sin by the commandment might become what? Exceeding sinful. That's what he said. The law, what the law does is magnify your goodness. Your goodlessness. Make a word up. Your goodnessless. Your badness. Your sinfulness. So he puts up. He puts up the law, and the law says, "Do all these things. Don't do these things." And because you're so contrary, guess what you do? Everything that the law says do, you don't. Everything it says don't, you do. He said, wow. And the law says, look, if you miss one, And you deserve what? That's a mess, isn't it? So you really, you know what? You want somebody to get rid of this thing. Right? But if it gets rid of that, you still what? You still have this, but it doesn't have that catalyst staring them right in the face. But it's still there. And the Lord comes, that's why he says in Matthew 5, he said, they say this, but I'm saying, don't look at that. I'm saying, look at that. And he says, look, I got the answer to this. I got the answer to this and to this. And it's faith. That's why Paul says, I thank God with the mind. I'm focused on what he's done. And with the flesh, I realize that guy is hanging around. But if I walk in the spirit, I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I'm almost there. I almost got it, Johnny. He says, this one thing I do, Philippians, he's all the way in Philippians. And when he said this, one thing I do is forget. Not that I'm already perfect. No. But, see, if you trying to prove something, then we're all lost. Even the person that said that to you.
Yeah.
And you know that.
Yeah.
So what eliminates that is doctrine. The more doctrine you get about you and him, and when I say him and the Lord, the more you see what he's done, the more you see that you can do. And the more you see that you can't do, the more you see that he's done. And then you could say, like Paul, everything that I'm putting on my list to make me look good, that's taken away from his list. The more I get to know me, the less I know him. The less you know you, the more you get to know him. And then you'll be found not in your own list of works, but you'll be found in his work. You know, when Adam and Eve were in the garden and they hid because their eyes were open, because they knew they were naked. So when they sinned, you know they took off their clothes, right?
The light
No, the light came on.
They realized they were naked.
They realized they were naked because they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I know that might be. They knew something about themselves that God didn't tell them. Somebody else told them.
They didn't know they were naked.
They didn't know. Until what?
They disobeyed God.
Until, what did they do? What was the disobedience? What was it?
God.
Huh? What? Yeah. What happened when they ate?
They seen. Their eyes were open.
Their what?
Their eyes were open.
The eyes of their understanding were open, right? And then they knew that they were naked. And they said, we hid because we knew that we were naked. And we're ashamed. And the Lord said, who told you that? You know, when you look up that word, naked, shorn, you mean, you know, to strip, like you strip your clothes off. And said, who told you you were naked? Where you get that doctrine from? Where you get that teaching from? Who told you that? Who told you that? Have you eaten from the tree that I told you not to? And he said, yeah, she gave it to me. And she said, yeah, I did it. He did it. Excusing, accusing. But the point is this. I said all that to say this is, the minute you start wondering, am I really saved? Is God really pleased with me? Am I doing enough to prove I'm saved? And he gonna say, who told you that? Who told you you weren't saved? Who told you you had to do all that? Are you listening? Where you get that from? Where you get that doctrine from? And you know what you're going to say? He told me. And he's going to say, well, he... And you know what? What's funny? When you get back to the source, they're using the word of God. But he puts a twist on it. He wouldn't get you to go for it if he wasn't quoting a verse. But it's you know what? It's out of context. So that man have you doubting. Here's a man starts off son of God in the image of God, and he gets the wrong doctrine, and he says, well, there he goes. Yeah, right. There goes, you know what? His worship services, that position, that privilege he had. So, even there, it's the question of faith. Is what did God say, and what are you doing with what he said? How are you responding to what he said? What he said for you to be accepted. Now, back to 3, we're going to have to stop there. Man. You know, you wonder how, James, when you get to one verse and when you could laugh and say, I move my bookmark. That's how. Where you can see 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law or without performance. You can see that God has always, his concern is his word and how you respond to it. Who, from the beginning, through all ages and dispensations, that's always been the question, is do you believe me? And what are you doing with my word? So when he tells the Jew, this is what the word is, and this is how you should respond to it, whatever the law says, or if he takes the Gentile and deals with him, if he deals with the Jew, or the Gentile. He's able to justify that person. Whether it's a Jew by faith, that is, using the doctrine that was given to them, the information that God gave them, or through faith is how that man is responding is still going to be what? Faith. Because he said, well, the Gentiles, when they don't have the law, listen, this, your sin nature, doesn't eliminate your ability to have faith what God says. If the law should bring you to Christ, that's how it works.
Now, go back to the difference between by and through.
Okay.
By faith.
I'm using this because he's using the Jew and the Gentile in the passage. And he said he would justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Right? When he gets to the Jew and he gives them, they have everything. They have the oracles of God. They have the law. They had the service of God. Those things they were to do by faith. That is, they had the instrumentality of the law to help them. That's what, and he just told you that they had the law, and Paul said this, they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. You see, Moses said this, you guys don't like me. I know that. He didn't say, I'm paraphrasing it. He said, you guys don't like me. And I know that. But the Lord God is going to raise up another prophet like me. And you need to hear him. And all that don't hear him be cut off from the people. Listen, who is Moses? He's the giver of the law. You know, when Moses died, you know what they loved? They didn't do anything he said while he was living. And when Moses died, they loved the law. So much so, when Paul comes along, he said, listen, the man's here that Moses talked about. He said, you need to hear him. And they said, oh, no. No way. He commanded every man to speak against Moses. And he said, wait a minute. Moses talked about him. And they said, no, we're going to stick with this guy. He said, look, you can't do it. And he said, we can try though. They said, well, stop trying. He's the end of the law. Well, we're going to give one more shot. I know that. And you think that's crazy. That's why he said they didn't get it, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. They tried to take the instrument that would have introduced them because of their shortcomings, and they tried to keep it. But the Lord was, look, it was for, it was what Paul said this, they were shut up unto the faith. They were shut up. And this was only for a time until the through faith comes. That's why, look, that would bring them to Christ, that they might be justified by faith. Now, the Gentile, he didn't have it. That's why, look, they go into the law and they in the synagogue and they talk about it. And like Stephen said this, he said, you receive the law by the disposition of angels. And you've done your best. You've tried really hard. You're doing pretty good. He said, and you haven't kept it. Paul comes around. He said, look, me and a brother, be it known unto you that all could be justified from all things.
And she could not be justified by the law of Moses.
You don't think they asked him?
What you talking about?
Who told you that? And they said, they ran him out of town. But the Gentiles said, you mean we don't have to work for this? We just, all we have to do is believe? Could you come back next week? Tell us a little bit more? I'm going to come back next week and tell you a little bit more. That's me. I'm going to tell you a little bit more. So we got
some. How come, like, those Jewish believers still, like, keeping the law?
Because why we just read, they didn't believe that Christ was the end of the law.
Even like James, like he told Paul, you see how many thousands, and they are all zealous of the law. So I'm saying, like James, he's like
when they met, sure. When they met, see, this is what we need to take into consideration is this. We're still dealing with that law and grace today. Where it meant, look, you can't just sit down. That's just another law. That's another performance. It's just his. And he said, no, you can't just sit down. And he said, well, wait a minute. How'd you get it? And he said, well, it's free. Or what? Galatians. We want Galatians 2. Let's see. That sounds right. Let's see. Galatians 2, verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Why do you think he was scared of the Jews that came from Jerusalem? Peter, he's the leader. Now, Peter's the leader. He's eating with Gentiles. And here comes the Jews from Jerusalem. And Peter says, uh-oh. He grabs his plate and he moves over to the Jew table. Huh? He probably what? Whose law?
They were still all Jews. The law of Moses.
You mean the law that was done away with? Okay, well, why would they? What's the big deal then?
Either they didn't know it was done away with, or they didn't believe.
Believe, right.
What if they knew and didn't care?
Wow.
That wouldn't happen, though, would it? That would never happen with it. Not a believer. Not a believer who knew that the doctrine was wrong and they don't care. No. He couldn't be saved then. He couldn't be justified. Peter knew, didn't he? Didn't he?
Yeah.
He did. He left anyway. He left anyway. He knew it. He believed it. And he still left. He ain't saved. Peter is not saved. See? Okay. Now, 2:12. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision, and the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was also carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they followed the law in truth, I said unto Peter, it's okay, brother, I understand. What?
No.
But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, the truth of the law said separate. The truth of the gospel said what? No difference. I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Note this one. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. See, here's what Peter kind of knew. Is this. A Jew by nature and a sinner of the Gentile, the only thing that made them different was that they had something to go by. And when you remove that something to go by, guess what you end up with? When you remove that something to go by, guess what you end up with?
Okay.
You end up with two people that get something through faith. And he said this, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. That sound like chapter 3, don't it? Romans chapter 3, don't it sound like? Okay. But by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the law. Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. But by the faith of Christ, sound like 3, don't it? And not by the works of the law, for by the works of the flesh, law shall no flesh be justified. Sound like chapter 3, don't it? But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. So he's saying the same thing is, I see Paul is telling him, you know what this is for. You're dead. This killed you. This gives you life. He gives you life. The law is the ministration of death. And it did its job. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. What the law does is introduce you to the life giver. That's why when we were reading back in 3, where he told her, put this in the coffin. Put the law in there. Put the pot in there. Put the Aaron's rod in there. Look, death, but also you have in here life. It's a preserver. You remember those lessons we had? The mercy seat's on top of here. The mercy seat. Mercy. Sure they rebelled. But I got a way to forgive you. Look, he's just, because I'm going to deal with this. And he's the justifier. Because I'm going to help him out of that situation. I know, that's a scribbling, I'm sorry. That's,
I kind of agree with that last word that you wrote there.
What, that?
Yeah, what's
justifier.
That? That's okay.
I'm talking, I'm just scribbling. That's, but, see, we build on, we're building on the principle, and I try to repeat myself often where maybe it'll stick. But maybe I should repeat it again and again. So when we go through, when you see it, you see that, you see it being restated. Paul is restating the principle over and over, all the way through 4, even to 5, where you see this, because he's dealing with how God could justify you freely. You have nothing to do with it, only your response. And when you live after that, your service is only based on your response. He doesn't make you do anything. It's inconsistent with grace. Everything you do is going to be because you want to.
Because you have availed yourself of the mind of Christ. You put on Christ. You see, you get away from my thinking and you put on his thinking.
That's what's involved in that.
And that's why the Lord would always say, I always do what my Father.
Because the Lord, he's already got it. His worship service, he said, the only reason I'm here. That's the only reason I'm here. That's the only reason. He says, I'm coming to do it. His will. Who was in the form of God, thought himself not robbery but equal with God, but he humbled himself and became in the likeness of men, found himself in fashion of a man, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And for this cause, God hath highly exalted him, giving him a name above every name. And he didn't have to do any of it. He did it willingly. And guess what? Grace is, you don't have to do any of it. And what you do willingly. And what you don't do, you do willingly. This is what we don't like right here. This or we don't believe. It's so far off, Louise, to, you know what, don't, it really doesn't make a difference. What grade you in? Don't mean nothing to them right now. You can say, you know what, you need to study right now. So when you're ready to go to college, they look at your scores, you do good. You're not thinking about that. I guarantee you. You're not thinking about that, are you? Until, you know what, when they start applying, and you say, man, if I would have just put in a little more time in the ninth grade, I could have got a full scholarship. Look, some people have insight, foresight, but everybody got hindsight.
Yeah.
So you can look back and like, oh. But see, once you get to Louise, what's the hindsight?
You can't unsee it once you see it.
It's like your time here is done. All right, let's stop here. Father, we thank you for your statement. Thank you for your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.